through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Seattle Seahawks are winding down the longest season and the longest year ever with a regular season finale against the 49ers in Arizona because, of course, it's 2020 and it all has to be this way. But there's actually a lot to be excited about. Stacy Ross and Jake Heaps with you. Your team, Seahawks fans, are the NFC West champions and can still fight for a number one seed. We'll tell you exactly how that can happen.
I thought you were going to say that you were pumped for your New Year's Eve plans tonight. I thought that that's what you were saying.
I am pumped for my New Year's Eve plans. Let me tell you what's on the menu. No, let me tell you later. I will say that brown sugar bacon wrapped little smokies are one of the options.
Oh. Woo!
Yeah.
That will definitely be at our house. We
fried
do that every
ravioli.
Year.
So good. Yeah. Chef Stacy.
Buffalo chicken dip. Buffalo chicken dip. I mean, let's go.
What are we doing
here?
Why are
we talking about this game? You guys, hey, everyone have a good weekend. We'll see you guys later. But listen, you guys, listen. You can still get the number one seed. Your team is healthy. Your team are NFC West champs. We'll explain how all this is going to happen. Your team has a chance to finish with 12 wins. You have a chance to be 12-4 against a struggling, I would say a not healthy 49ers team. They'll still put up a fight, Jake. And that's why there's a huge opportunity in Week 17. And no, this isn't just about the number one seed. Again, we'll tell you how they can get that. We'll explain how everything happens. But, Jake, this is also an opportunity, in my opinion, and I've decided I'm going to die on this hill. This is a hill. I thought about dying on it yesterday, and I said, no, I don't want to die on it. That's silly, Stacy. This is such a stupid thing stupid hill to die on. But I've decided to climb back up and make this my final resting place. This is an opportunity for the offense to get the tiniest breather. It's not a big breather. They're still playing the number five defense. But a tiny breather and rack up 30-plus points per game. It is not on accident that the best teams in the league are also the highest scoring teams in the league. And I know what people are thinking. I know what you're thinking already before you even texted in. I don't have to look at the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. I already know what it's going to say. Stacy, scoring points doesn't matter that much. It's about winning. If you get out with a win and you scored 15 points, who cares? And you're right. You're right. A win is the most important thing you can come away with. A win is more important than scoring 20 points, scoring 30 points, scoring 40 points. It absolutely is. But there is a very obvious positive correlation, Jake, between scoring those points and winning. You want to know who the three teams in the NFL are that are the highest scorers? I will give you guesses as to the top two. Just throw out two teams you think might be scoring the most points. Just guess.
Well, I would say that the ones that you should be worried about are within your own conference.
Okay.
So I would say Green Bay is one.
That's right.
New Orleans Saints are probably in the top five, I would guess.
Yes, they are. And Kansas City. Here's the top three. Green Bay, 31.6. Kansas City, 30. Tennessee, 30. Right behind them, New Orleans, 29.9. The Bills, Tampa Bay. It's not a random stat. And these teams, here's the other correlation, are also dominating on third down. Buffalo's number one. KC is up there. Green Bay, top three. All others outside of Tampa Bay are in the top 10. Seattle continues to be great in the red zone, so I don't want to take away from this offense. This offense has been stellar. DK Metcalf, a great season. He is, 18 yards away from being the first Seahawks receiver to get 1,300 yards in a single season. I mean, he is shattering records. 6 yards away from, I think, tying a record set by Steve Largent. Fantastic season, obviously, by Russell Wilson. Continue to be great in the red zone. They're making the most of their opportunities. But in this game, Jake, why don't you create your own opportunities? Move the chains. Convert on third down. Get yourself into the red zone by continuing to be efficient on every single drive. And you know what? Like it or not, that is going to result in more points.
Well, it will result in more points. There was a statement that was said to me early on, and I've said this before on this show, but it's something that Steve Young, Bill Walsh, everything that the 49ers believed in back in the day, and it was something that was said to me when I was at BYU, was a simple thought process is completions, completions, completions equals first downs, which equals touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And if you're ready and able to continue to keep moving the chains, as you're talking about on third down, that gives you those opportunities. And really where the Seahawks offense has flourished is being so effective on first and second down that they really haven't had to mess a whole lot with third down. They've been able to get to the red zone despite not having to deal with multiple third down situations through a given drive. And when you get to the playoffs, you're going to be faced with more of those third down situations. So, yes, that is an opportunity for them to truly improve on that and to have a day where you have an opportunity. To me, Stacey, you have one last golden opportunity. You get it? Golden?
No,
playing
I got
the 49ers.
It.
Yeah, you like that? Golden?
I don't
yeah,
like
okay.
It.
Okay. Okay. Well, at least I thought I'd try it out there. To get themselves ready for the playoffs with this matchup against the 49ers. If the Seahawks are truly as locked in as much as we feel, then this game should be a great capstone to the 2020 season, Stacey. To the 2020 year. As we're here in New Year's Eve. That's right. We know this team has something to play for still in regards to playoff seeding. But more importantly, Stacey, as you're talking about third downs, you're talking about this offense and the continued growth, this is an opportunity to keep stacking great days of focus, preparation, execution, and momentum. That's what Pete Carroll is focused on. This is why he was so adamant with reporters on Monday that they wouldn't rest anybody. If you're healthy, you're playing. And how what he said exactly was, that's not how we think. Curtis, do we have that soundbite here?
The other side of this is maintaining the consistency and maintaining the regimen that we have and the mentality that we have. Man, I don't want to break that thing right now. I don't want to break that mentality at all. We want to stay right with it and keep pushing and trying to get better. You know, we got a lot of room to get better. We made a lot of mistakes that we could fix during the course of this week for the next game and leading into the next couple games and all that. So, I don't like taking the chance of breaking the mentality.
So I love hearing that from Pete Carroll because that speaks more volumes to me than anything else. You don't want to show up against this 49ers team that's 6-9 that doesn't realize they're 6-9. They play like they're playing for the playoffs. That game that we watched against the Arizona Cardinals last week, 49ers and Cardinals, the 49ers came to play. They were running and hitting, and they were physical. They had energy, and they would love nothing more than to play spoiler at the end to ruin any chance of the Seahawks getting the number one seed, to ruin and break up that connection and what they have currently going on that Pete Carroll wants to hold on tight to right now. This is an opportunity for them to continue that momentum heading into the playoffs. And Stacey, you better show up ready to finish. And with that cut right there by Pete Carroll, you know that is mentally where he is focused in. That's what he wants this team focused and dialed in on. And with those opportunities to improve and grow, I think third down, Stacey, I think this offense, I think defensively as well, they have these opportunities to grow, and what better way to do that than against the 49ers?
A golden opportunity, says Jake. Do you get it because it's a golden opportunity because it's the 49ers? You know what, Jake,
yes.
Now that I think about it.
Nailed it.
You really did nail it. You knocked it out of the park. All right, we're going to get back to this. It's a really important point. Before we do that, though, we don't have a show tomorrow. It is New Year's Day. It's New Year's Eve today. We're in here, and that means it is a Thursday edition of Bold Take Friday.
It's time for Bold Take
Thursday.
There you go. Get those bold takes in. Now, listen, you guys, because we know the Seahawks are going to be no lower than the number 3 seed and they'll be playing at home, have a chance to be the number 1 seed. You can make these about the playoffs if you want. It can be a Super Bowl thing if you want. Obviously, we're going to have bold takes next week, so we'll be doing that again. If you want to make them about week 17, I encourage you to do that, though, because that is going to be both of ours. Jake, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, you want 710, me to go
710,
first.
By the way. Send those in.
So you're wanting me to go first.
I want to be the cleanup.
You've
here.
Got the one that's good. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you're that confident.
I'm that
in this
confident.
Bold take
mine
of yours.
Is bolder.
Okay. So, and I had a quick peek at your bold takes, and I think it is bolder,
yes.
By the way. So to me, this is going to be focused on the fact that what I just said in terms of this team coming out clear, focused, ready to go mentally, they are locked in. And when you are locked in and you have that sense and captured that championship mindset, everything that you do, the way you practice, the way you approach game planning, it doesn't matter who you face. you are going to be ready to go and play at your best. And so what I expect from this team is that they are going to control this game from start to finish. They are going to come out. They are going to be the enforcers. They are going to be the ones that are wanting to make a statement, showing the rest of the league that this is a championship team and you better watch out. So what I'm anticipating, Stacey, is I'm anticipating this being a 28-6 game for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson comes out, throws four touchdown passes. You are able to keep the 49ers under 100 yards on the ground. C.J. Beathard under 200 yards passing. And this is a all-around dominant performance.
All right. Bold Take Friday on a Thursday. Send those in. Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line 710-710. Jake, I like that one. The idea of a blowout. What was it? 28-6. Seahawks win. Seahawks go 12-4. Not only that, but a dominant performance on both sides of the ball. I like that bold take. I like it. A couple from the text line before I get to mine. Bold take from the 425. Jamal Adams will have three sacks. Three sacks! And an interception for a touchdown. Whoa, that's a career day. Sign that contract
that
right then and there. That's how I feel about that.
Absolutely.
253, Russell Wilson will not play in the fourth quarter because it's a blowout, or, don't do this to me, 253, the Saints and Packers games are blowouts. Don't. Oh. Why would you do this? Why would you do this to me? 206, bold take. Friday on a Thursday, trademark, thank you for including that. Niners don't score any points on us, not even field goals. We wrap up the season nicely, balanced two touchdowns, passing to running backs. Oh, very specific, Christian from the 206. I like that. Okay, I'm going to keep getting back to that, so send those in. Here's mine. Jake, I have nothing to do with the Seahawks this time. Because I'm pretty confident they can beat the 49ers. I agree with you. The 49ers, you guys go back and watch week 16, 49ers Cardinals, even just like a condensed version on Game Pass. They are not playing like a 6-win team. They are beating them up. So it'll be a fight. Don't get me wrong. But no, my young friends. Instead, this is about Packers Bears. The Packers demolished the Bears in their first meeting this year, which was not that long ago. And they're touchdown favorites on the road, which I always assume is like more like a 10-point favorite. Rodgers has 44 touchdowns. This offense is averaging more points per game than any other team in the league. But what's this I hear, Jake? What, do you hear that? It's a resurgence for Mitchell Trubisky and future Hall of Famer Jimmy Graham. That's right, it is.
Future Hall of Famer.
That's right. The Bears have everything to play for. Win and they're in. They've scored 30-plus points in four consecutive weeks. They get the upset and play spoiler themselves for the Packers' number one seed hopes because the Seahawks win. And here's the other twist in my bold take. I actually still think the Saints win. I think the Saints win, meaning it's an NFC championship game in a dome this year instead of Lambeau.
Wow.
The double horn, Curtis. Thank you. Wow, I'm honored.
Wow. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable of a bold take if I have ever heard.
Thank you. Bears win and you're in. The Bears win and they're in. I think they can still get in if, it's something to do with the outcome of Tennessee Indy. I think if Indy loses, I'm not entirely sure. I need to double check it. So it's not all over if they lose, but everything is out of their control. They are out of the driver's seat if they lose. You have everything to play for. Everything. Trubisky, two touchdowns to Jimmy Graham last week. Greatest Seahawks tight end in history. It's great, Jake. It's fantastic.
It is great. You believe the Trubisky train is on track, huh? You're getting on that hype train.
I think that Mitchell Trubisky is going to have a great week 17 of the 2020 NFL season. I'll end it there. I commit. Else to his future.
No, you commit nothing else. No. I mean, look, they've been scoring over 30 points, Stacey, which is what you have been really concerned about.
Thank you.
For the Seahawks. Yeah. So I understand why the Texans, the Vikings, the Jags. Whew, man, those are some good quality opponents. But maybe that was the spark they needed to take down the Packers here. I would love nothing more than that.
Me
love
too.
Nothing more.
Okay. Keep those coming in. I'm going to get to them at the beginning of every single segment. That's one at 11:30. That's one at 11:45. That's one at noon. So keep those going. I'm collecting them right now. Until then, let's get to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Question one, Snacks Harrison claimed by the Packers this week, and he plans to report to Green Bay despite saying he didn't want to play the waiver game. We still cool with him?
I'm going back and forth on this, Curtis. I really am, because on one side, I completely understand in Snacks' situation why he wants to go somewhere that he feels like he can play, and he feels like they're going to give him the chance to play and be a starter and not go and be on and off on the inactive list. If the Green Bay Packers truly need Snacks Harrison and they are going to use him through the rest of the playoffs, I totally get it. I really do. I think that there's no ill will feelings from Snacks to the Seahawks, but they clearly thought Brian Monet was a better player. The tape doesn't lie. He was, and he showed it this last week as well. But what I don't like is that it really puts the Seahawks in a bad spot in terms of their overall depth at that position. So for that reason, I'm actually having a really hard time with this, and it's going to be really frustrating to see Snacks in a Green Bay Packers uniform. I'm not sure. I'm still really not sure how I feel about this, Curtis, because I like Snacks the person, and I respect the business decision, but I just really hate seeing him go to the Green Bay Packers.
Guys, can I correct myself? Okay, so first of all, to texters, yes, I know that Tennessee is in the AFC. I'm not an idiot. But the NFC playoff, or the NFL's communications playoff predictions, had the Indianapolis Colts and Tennessee Titans game involved in a couple of their playoff scenarios. But one of those was not Chicago. So they are involved there, but it's not with Chicago. I thought it was. My bad. Okay, so they win, or obviously with an Arizona loss. So my bad. But I do know that those teams are in the AFC. I'm not stupid. That's my only correction I'll make. Okay. Yes, I'm still cool with him. What? Is this a real question? Absolutely still cool with him. I mean, I think that he's going to get...
Really?
Yeah. You think he's being, like, hypocrite? I mean, I think that it's... He was claimed off waivers, not, like, chose to sign with the team. But obviously, he's probably fine with that. He probably feels like they're going to a Super Bowl. Maybe get a little more playing time. I don't know. I mean, he was so respectful and cool on his way out. I have no personal problem with Snacks Harrison at all.
Question two.
Number two.
It's not the Cardinals they're facing, but it is State Farm Stadium, of all places. Any nerves heading into a Seahawks road game in Glendale, Arizona? The worst
Curtis, gosh dang it, Curtis. I wasn't before, and now I am. Okay, so I would prefer to not think about that at all. And now that I am very nervous. This is the last thing that we need. Everything right now is going, it couldn't be going in a better direction in terms of the arrow pointing up for the Seahawks and everything that they got going on. Health, how they're playing on the offense and defensive side of the ball, how special teams is rolling. This team is rolling. Please, please, Arizona's turf, don't get in the way of that. Please.
Is it Arizona's turf, or is it just a very weird, strange, unlucky history between these teams where weird things always happen?
Like,
I don't,
vibe, man.
I don't think of them as having, like, with FedEx Field, I was a little nervous. With the old Candlestick, I was certainly nervous. I'm not, with this, I just think it's weird things happen. You've had, but that's mostly recency bias. You had Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman's Seahawks careers end there.
Earl Thomas's career.
Earl Thomas's career and between a game between these two teams.
Got ties.
No nerves because of the stadium. I think it has to be, in order for it to work, it's got to be something where it's probably like a full moon plus it's got to be the Arizona Cardinals playing there. I think that's science. I don't make the rules.
Stacey, there was also once a Super Bowl that happened there without the Arizona Cardinals.
I know, but I'm not considering.
The Seahawks played in.
Yeah, but I'm not looking at it that
didn't
way.
Didn't go so great that day.
Thanks, Curtis.
You're welcome.
But no.
Number three.
Guys, there are college freshmen right now that have never lived in a world where the Cleveland Browns have played a playoff game.
Aw, the babies.
All they got to do is win and get in. Do they get it done on Sunday?
No.
I cannot
buy into the Cleveland Browns
Mason
until
Rudolph?
It actually happens. There's just no way. Yes, Mason Rudolph, even without TJ Watt, they're sitting out, I think, like four or five key starters for the Steelers. I don't know, man. I just got a feeling that the Cleveland Browns are going to find a way to mess it up. Only the Cleveland Browns could be this good and miss the playoffs. It's just...
I know.
I just got a bad feeling about it for them. I really do.
You know what? I feel bad, too, because it's hard to say that COVID has made this difficult for them. COVID has impacted every single team in the league. So that's not really fair to just say, oh, that impacted this team more than the other. But I look at their game against the Jets, that loss. They were short three receivers, including their best receiver. They had, I think, a total of four or five guys on the COVID-19 reserve list. So... I mean, if they weren't dealt that loss, this might be an easier outcome. I don't know. You know what? I am a fan of the underdog, always and forever. And so I'm going with the Browns. I am saying, yes, this is the year. 2020, unlike it is for everyone else, is the Browns' year to make it to the wild card round and lose.
Yeah. I mean, that's about all we can expect.
They'll take it.
Second part of that statement.
I think anybody from Cleveland would be fine with that. More than fine with that.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Let's get to one more bold take. Let me pick a good one. Shuffling through the text line through all the mean things. Bold take. Seahawks, from the 509, will bust out of their turnover funk and secure three turnovers, including, this has become one of the more popular takes today, a Jamal Adams interception. Is the self-proclaimed Jamal Butterfingers Adams with two broken fingers going to have some extra orange juice, extra toast, and get an interception against the 49ers? I almost
said the Cardinals. This morning with my orange juice and toast.
My orange juice and toast, Jake. I've always said a healthy breakfast, most important part of the day if you want to go get interceptions.
Oh, man, that soundbite is amazing. We've got to play that for everybody later on. But I love a fired-up Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
I want another fired-up Jamal Adams. And let's get Jamal Adams' first pick. But it's going to have to be like a punt. You know where it's going to come from? It's going to have to
be
like a strip sack. It's going to have to be a strip sack. The ball pops up in the air, so it's nice and soft. Jamal Adams is already near the area because he's been blitzing, or he's on a blitz, and so he's just perfectly underneath it so he can, you know, get his arms perfectly folded like this and just catch it right in the breadbasket. Because if he has to use his hands, it's a drop. You can bet on that. You can absolutely bet on that.
Jake, you're actually incorrect. Here's what it's going to be. It's going to be a la the Chiefs on their fourth down attempt versus the Falcons. 49ers are going to just say, you know what? We're out of this. Let's get fun. Let's have some fun and do some crazy trick play on like a goal line situation. And he's going to intercept a bad pass from Jeff Wilson Jr., their running back. That is my prediction.
Okay.
All right. Normally we have Mike Salk joining us at 11:30 every weekday, but we have a special surprise for you guys. That's next on Jake and Stacey.
I watched it this morning with my orange juice and toast.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It is Bold Take Thursday. I mean, it's Bold Take Friday, but it's on a Thursday this time around. Now, we're going to be getting to a couple more of those in just 1 minute, though. You guys, normally we have Mike Salk, brought to you by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer, joining us at 11:30. Today, we have a special guest. It's the Groz. Hey, Groz.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm ready for this year to come to an end.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the Seahawks season is coming to an end in San Francisco, against San Francisco in Arizona. So because it's bold take Thursday. Jake and I thought of ours. Mine has nothing to do with the Seahawks. So tell me which of our two is more likely. I think I know which one you're going to have to pick, but, you know, just I'm just saying. Your girl has a bold one. Mine is that the Bears will be spoiler and upset the Packers. Jake's is that the Seahawks have one of their best games. It's essentially a blowout, 28-6. Very specific prediction. Balanced, nice game on offense. What kind of game are you expecting? And which of our bold takes is probably going to happen, Gross?
Well, yours is very bold.
Thank you.
And I like I like very bold. So I think you've got the boldest take, but I kind of agree with Jake in terms of the game. I think the 49ers, don't like them, wish them ill, but I mean, what a year. 30 players on injured reserve. They've used 80 players this year. They've been away from home now for what, a month and a half almost? It's like the 94 Mariners, for crying out loud, when the Kingdome tiles fell. I mean, their roof fell in on them this year. So I kind of think they're going to lay an egg, too. I think they've probably pretty much shot their wad, even though you never want to, take a division game for granted, and there's always something that goes on between the lines there. But, they've kind of done all they can do. But, boy, I love the Bears upsetting the Packers. I think it's probably smart, though it's sort of annoying that those games are all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very true. And Graz, Pete Carroll was asked earlier in the week about resting his starters, and Pete Carroll had a pretty interesting comment that I want you to react to here in cut number one.
The other side of this is maintaining the consistency and maintaining the regimen that we have and the mentality that we have. Man, I don't want to break that thing right now. I don't want to break that mentality at all. We want to stay right with it and keep pushing and trying to get better. We got a lot of room to get better. We made a lot of mistakes that we can fix during the course of this week for the next game and leading into the next couple games and all that. So I don't like taking the chance of breaking the mentality.
So my question to you, Graz, is from hearing Pete on that is, when he talks about not wanting to break the mentality and he wants to keep everybody dialed in and focused, what will that be like on display to you this Sunday against the 49ers? How will you know if they accomplish that mission?
If they play the same kind of game that they played last week, so I mean, if you see the same sort of execution on offense where they didn't make mistakes, where the running game popped, if you see the same sort of aggression on defense that we've seen the last 5 or 6 weeks, basically, you said 28-6. If it's 20-9 again and they play the way they played against the Rams, I'm completely okay with that. So I think if we see a game like we saw last week with a result like we saw last week, we'll know it. It's you just think about last year and get nervous when those two running backs went down and kind of ended the season. But I appreciate his point about the fact that, you played your best game, arguably, I think, on both sides of the ball, all three aspects of the game last week, and you definitely want to keep that going. It's kind of like you've been building to this crescendo. You put it all together, and you don't want to take anything away from it. So I certainly understand what he's talking about. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope nothing happens. And look, if they look at the other games and see the Saints are winning in a blowout and the Packers are winning in a blowout, you can kind of change your mentality if you want to a little bit in the second half. So I imagine they'll be scoreboard watching a little bit, but it's pretty typical Pete Carroll to be sticking with his horses and not wanting to mess up a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, Graz, I can't remember exactly where you stood on how far you thought the Seahawks could get when we talked to you a couple weeks ago about it, but has anything you've seen in any of their last three games changed your mind about how far you think they can go?
I would say if you're talking about the last three games, sure. I mean, I think now that their chances are even better than they were. I think that it's playoff football. I was watching the guys on Inside the NFL talk about it, and you see so many teams trying at this point, time of the year, relying on running the football. We saw it in the postseason last year. We saw the success that running the football had in the postseason last year for a bunch of teams. I think Seattle's got that part of their game down. I guess the only thing that I have is just a little bit of, I would sure love to see Russell Wilson, I'm not talking about throw for 500 yards, but just have a couple of a game where he connects on everything, doesn't make a mistake. If it's 190 yards but completes 80% of his passes, just to look razor sharp. But that's a small thing because I think he's very close. I think they're playing their best football right now, and I wasn't sure that that was the case 3 weeks ago. So I think that their opportunity is right in front of them. I think they've got as good a shot as anyone in the NFC, which I believe is completely wide open, and I think the lack of a crowd also adds to that as well, the fact that there's no real significant home field advantage. They definitely have a shot at going to the Super Bowl, a very good shot, and I think that that's kind of exciting for everyone, especially assuming, knock on wood, everything goes well this weekend.
Graz, how special will it be for DK Metcalf to break potentially Steve Largent's single-season game receiving record? I mean, it's almost a foregone conclusion it will happen, but Largent has been such a legend in this franchise, such a special player, and for somebody like DK to break that, what will that mean?
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it, Jake, that record has stood for as long as it stood. And
yeah,
you know, DK is I'm not going to say the second coming of Steve Largent. We all know Steve Largent was a completely different kind of player, but this kid has exploded onto the scene. Played spectacular. I think he's a very worthy guy to have that record, and I think that he'll have it for a while, and he'll probably break it a couple of times. And I imagine from his standpoint, I'm going to assume in his second year he's still kind of taking everything in. I think it might have a little more meaning for him when he plays a little bit longer, but I think it's just a tremendous accomplishment, just a spectacular season. The step forward that we all hoped would happen after that spectacular playoff performance last year has happened. And the thing is, I think you guys probably agree, there's still room for this guy to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's at his absolute maximum yet, so it's going to be awfully exciting to watch him continue to develop.
Legendary voice of radio. Thanks, Graz.
Thank you, guys. And by the way, I'm filling in for Bob with Dave Wyman this afternoon at 2.
All right, so you guys can hear Graz again. Don't go anywhere. He'll be on at 2 p.m. Thanks.
Okay, guys, have a happy new year.
Happy new year. All right, I said I would get to a bold take. Going to go to one quickly here. Now, this is very, very, very bold. This one on Twitter. Predicting a touchdown from three separate running backs, including Rashad Penny, which would be his first touchdown of the season.
Interesting.
So
that would be
Carson
great to get
Penny.
Rashad Penny. Yeah, it'd be great to get Penny his first touchdown of the year. That would be awesome. I'd love that.
All right. Who do you want the Seahawks to face in the first round? There's a couple different options here. Think of what you want. We're going to talk about the percentage chances they could face any of these teams. But right now, 710-710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer. Is it the Rams? Is it the Cardinals? Is it the Bears? Or would you want to see the Buccaneers sometime in the playoffs? Let us know. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Going to the bold takes right before we jump into this segment from the 360. Guys, tell me what you think about this one. Seahawks bold take, Ugo Amadi gets a pick six. This one is after Reed punt return for six. Joseph in the 360, that is very bold. I like bold. I don't know if both those are happening, but I'd love to see DJ Reed get a punt return versus his old team. That guy has looked all season, well, since he's come back in week 8, Jake, like he is just ready to break one off.
Okay. All right. I'm all for it. We'll see. I mean, it seems to me that there are a couple winners every time with bold takes that everybody's just going to keep shooting their shot on these ones because it's bound to happen. With DJ Reed being able to return one, take it to the house. Jamal Adams, he's been all around the football, just hasn't been able to bring one in yet. What's another one? What's another one that people are always
saying it's going to happen? Did I already say Jordan Brooks interception? Every single week,
yes.
Someone predicts a Jordan Brooks interception.
Yeah, that's that. Those three right there, you can bank on seeing those each and every single bold take day that we're on. Whatever day, it feels like bold takes has just been a nomadic day.
Whatever
we can get here because of the holidays.
All right, heading back to that at the start of every segment, so keep those coming in. You can respond to Jake's thread on Twitter at JTHeaps9 or text him right in to us directly, Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line 710-710. So let's talk about the playoffs. Let's talk about the current playoff picture, the possible scenarios for the Seahawks, and who you guys and us would rather see them play, what gives them the best chance. You know, and some folks are texting in saying, I don't want the best chance. I don't want an easy chance. I want the Seahawks to be tested and win. So before I get to that, here, I know. All right. Here are your scenarios. So as far as the Seahawks go, they cannot finish lower than the 3 seed, obviously, as the NFC West winner and with the NFC East being a hot mess. So the Seahawks right now, if the playoffs started today, would be the 3 seed, but the number one seed has not been clinched. Football Outsiders gives the Green Bay Packers over a 70% chance to get that. All they have to do is win, and it's theirs. They are fully in the driver's seat playing the Bears. The Bears, though, coming off back-to-back-to-back-to-back games with 30-plus points, including demolishing their last opponent. Problem, it was the Jags. So we'll see what that brings for them, but I'm hoping they play spoiler for the Packers. But that's not the only thing the Seahawks need, Jake. They also need the Saints to lose. You need all three of those things. You need a Seahawks win. You need a Packers loss. You need a Saints loss. Here's where it gets a little interesting. The Saints, right now, the number 2 seed, are also going to be rooting along with you guys because the Saints want a Seahawks win and a Packers loss. That will force all three teams, which will be 12-4, into a conference tiebreaker as opposed to head-to-head, meaning the Saints would get the advantage there because the Packers will have fallen to, obviously, an NFC team. So, again, if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you need the Saints to lose, you need the Packers to lose, all of those games happening at the same time. You are scoreboard watching, you guys, but really the only game that really matters is obviously you want to get the win. Finish with 12 wins. It'll be nice. So let's talk about who you can play. The Arizona Cardinals and LA Rams. Win and you're in. It's going to be one of those guys. Arizona wins. Arizona is in the playoffs if they win. Same with the Rams. That also coincides with the Chicago game. The Chicago Bears, if they win, they're in. Or they can also have Arizona lose and they're in. This is according to the NFL's email about it. So let's start with these teams right now. We'll bring in the Buccaneers in just 1 second. Of these three teams, you've got the Rams, you've got the Cardinals, you've got the Bears. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to see all three. One of these is going to get shut out between the Cardinals and the Rams. They're playing each other. Which of these three teams would you rather face? Jake, I'll throw this last bit of information in before I have you answer. Michael Brockers of the Rams, clearly, just placed on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big blow to them. He's played outstanding this year, along with that entire defensive front. They're still going to be able to get after the quarterback. They're still going to be able to harass Kyler Murray, even without Michael Brockers. But that is definitely a loss for them, no question. To me, the likely outcome in this situation right now is that the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, are sending the Rams home packing. I just have a really hard time seeing the Rams offense with John Wolford being able to beat the Cardinals. But here's the thing, though, Stacey, is that the Cardinals defense has really been struggling over the last couple weeks. They have really had a hard time. And when you talk about some of the deficiencies that they have had, what were the 49ers able to do against them? They were able to run for over 200 yards on the ground against this Arizona Cardinals defense. And so if you're Sean McVay and this Rams team, that might actually be a blessing in disguise, that while you're dealing with Jared Goff being out, you might not need to rely on Wolford so much if you're able to have a successful running game. So if you're asking me who I would rather face at this stage of the game, I think it's the Arizona Cardinals. Even though they have Kyler Murray, I think that this team has really hit a wall for them defensively. They've sustained injuries. Offensively, they just don't look in sync. I think that this team overall is not a true playoff contender and wouldn't be able to physically match up with Seattle as this team is just playing at a different level. The Rams, even without Jared Goff, they still have an amazing defense. I feel confident in the Seahawks being able to win that game, but it still would be more of a challenge, in my opinion, than the Arizona Cardinals.
Man, I'm torn. I was talking to Curtis about it when I saw the Michael Brockers news, and I said, I think in a weird way now I'm rooting for the Rams. That could be recency bias. Obviously, you've had wins against both teams, more recently against the Rams, and you just played so much better than I thought you would. You're going to be healthier than they are. I feel better when they've got Wolford out there because I'm not even convinced they can get, 9 points on the board, 3 field goals, much less a touchdown. So it's hard because the Cardinals will be healthier, and I think you're right there. I just feel a lot more confident about the Seahawks' chances against the Rams than I did a week ago. But of these teams, the toughest defenses, you're right, would be Chicago in the Rams. I think I would least want to face the Bears. I don't know why. Maybe it's the Hall of Famer Jimmy Graham and future Hall of Famer Mitch Trubisky. I don't know what it is. I think I least want to face.
Well, they're in a better
they've got a Jekyll Hyde situation. They are.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they're in a better situation right now. They're healthier as a team. Their defense is a good solid group. And offensively, I mean, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is. I can't take him seriously until I see him actually, you know, beat a good quality team. What they've done over the last 3 weeks, I mean, they've really beat up on some really bad teams in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. But I think that they are in a much better position than the Cardinals and the Rams are currently right now from just overall health and their roster. You know, playing better on both sides of the ball. So I think that's probably the reason why you don't want to deal with the Bears right now. It's not that you're fearful of them. It's not that you don't think that you could beat them.
Yeah.
But if you had, I think there's a golden opportunity in the first game of the playoffs to really take advantage of a couple of NFC West teams that are really struggling with either injury or just overall how they're playing.
Now, last one here. We haven't talked really about the Buccaneers yet. Jake, the Buccaneers, one of those teams I mentioned, right up against 30 points per game, averaging 29. I know last year they played a banged-up Lions game with almost no play callers on the sideline. So I have a hard time taking the 34
they
first
were all
points
gone.
Seriously. I know they were all gone. However, of the four teams, I think the Buccaneers are better than the other three.
Yeah, and there's no question. There's no question. There's zero question about that. I mean, yeah. Tom Brady, I mean, 36 touchdowns at age 43. I mean, really doing an outstanding job in spite of Bruce Arians at this point, in my opinion. They've got a ton of offensive weapons. Defensively, to me, they're a group that on their best day is one of the best units in the league. But they are very, very inconsistent, still a very young unit, but they are very physical. You know, Devin White and Levante David. I mean, those two guys in the middle of their defense are outstanding. So I think with the Buccaneers, the nice thing is you don't have to worry about them in terms of, you know, the first round of the playoffs. That would be maybe in some other scenarios into the second week of the playoffs. And at that stage, you're going to have to play some good teams regardless. And that's the fun part about the playoffs is you got to bring your best. You got to bring your A game. It's win or go home. And so I think it's fortunate for the Seahawks that those are the three possibilities for them right now, because those are obviously, you know, three of the weaker teams, but teams that are also, I think, dysfunctional in their own ways.
DK Metcalf needs 18 yards to become the first player in Seahawks franchise history to post a 1,300-yard season. Something tells me he's going to be able to surpass those 18 yards. He has had a phenomenal season. Let's talk to Michael Bumpus about DK Metcalf and what he expects to see from Metcalf and the Seahawks offense this Sunday.